came up with the idea of True Blue because her little sister was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And we noticed like a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes from her peers. People just didn't really understand her diagnosis.
She would have to take different shots and she would get special snacks during class and stuff. So her classmates would be very confused about what that was. And even like adults didn't really know what diabetes is. And so we're trying to eliminate the stereotypes from a young age so that as they grow up, the diabetics feel more seen and heard.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right. Hey, everybody. We have two amazing young entrepreneurs here today. We'll jump right in. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Maybe your names, where you go to school, what grade you're in.
My name's Kyla LaRue, and I'm a junior.
And I'm Lydia Yoder, and I'm a senior, and we both go to DeKalb High School.
Okay, and where is DeKalb High School?
It's in Auburn, Indiana.
Okay, nice, nice. And so tell us about a little bit about the business. What's the name of the business? What does it do? And maybe give us a sense for the scale. How much revenue have you guys done, and let's call it last year?
So our business is called True Blue. We raise awareness for type 1 diabetes with educational outreach programs in elementary school classrooms, and we've raised roughly over $4,000 in revenue over the past year.
Okay. Wow. Nice. And when was the business started?
We started the business 2 years ago in September.
Okay. Nice. Nice. And so, like, do you remember what growth looked like? So in the beginning, I imagine it was kind of slow going. And then It sounds like you had a pretty killer year last year. What did that first year look like?
In the beginning, we didn't have many sales. We were mostly going into classrooms. And then over the last year, the sales have grown more.
We were focusing mainly on like the nonprofit aspect at the beginning, but then we like slowly worked into like the aspect of the profit side.
Okay. We like profits here. All right. So let's jump into what is the actual product of True Blue? What do you sell, you know, when you go into these elementary schools?
So for the elementary school side, we don't sell anything. All of that's like free of charge. We just go into the classrooms with different games and stuff. But then for our products, we sell Aware Bears, which are little teddy bears with a shirt with our logo on it. And then we sell a children's book that she self-authored. And then we sell merchandise, which is just hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts with our logo on it.
And we also sell advertisement availability to different companies who would want to like put their logo on our coloring sheets or on our children's book.
Okay. Wow. All right. Lots of products. Cool. So there's lots to dig into there. Let's take a step back. I'm curious, how did you start this? I saw, you know, when I was listening to your conversation with Nick, you know, kind of the lead up to this, it seems like this wasn't your first entrepreneurial venture. So maybe walk me through how you got to this idea.
So when we first came up with the idea for like a business, we knew we had wanted to run a business. So we created a business that we called Clothing for a Cause, where we just upcycled clothes and like resold them and stuff like that. But we realized that the market was really, really big, and it was just kind of not, like, we couldn't fit in, really, because we had no experience, we had no resources. It wasn't really personal to us. But then the next year, we came up with the idea of True Blue, because her little sister was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and we noticed, like, a lot of misconceptions and stereotypes from her peers, and people just didn't really understand her diagnosis. So we wanted to make a change, and we wanted to help her just feel seen and heard. So we created True Blue.
Because a second grader, which is what she was, she would have to take different shots and she would get special snacks during class and stuff. So her classmates would be very confused about what that was. And even like adults didn't really know what diabetes is. And so we're trying to eliminate the stereotypes from a young age so that as they grow up, the diabetics feel more seen and heard.
Okay. That's an amazing, that's like an amazing sort of social impact you want to have, but you're doing it through business, which we love. Let's go back to that first business that didn't do so well, right? Because I think that's the one, there's a lot of learning from kind of and resilience you probably got from that. So you mentioned that was like, what, secondhand clothing, kind of trying to trade that and flip it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
And so where were you getting, maybe where did that idea come from? Was this something you saw on social media that people were doing? Was it somebody in school was successful with it? Where did you even come up with that idea?
It was just, we had a class with our teacher, Mrs. Johnson, and she said that we had to like come up with a business. And so we were just like kind of brainstorming, coming up with ideas. And that was kind of our first idea, and we just kind of went with it. But it was not very successful at all. We really didn't make anything because people didn't really want to buy our clothes that much. So we began to make jewelry, and that had a lot more success. We were creating like rings, necklaces, and that's when we somehow this transitioned to True Blue, with the idea of a blue circle being the universal sign for diabetes. So our original idea for True Blue was to just sell the blue rings for awareness, but then we transitioned to something even bigger than that. So,
okay, cool. I love the sort of turns and twists here. So Mrs. Johnson, what class does she teach? Is this an entrepreneurship class?
She teaches entrepreneurship, personal finance, accounting. She teaches like a lot of different classes at our school. She's a really, really good teacher. She's like our second mom, basically. She's helped us through so much, and she's done so much for us. And I don't even know like where our business would be without her. She's encouraged us so much.
That's great. Well, shout out to Mrs. Johnson. That she sounds like a remarkable woman. So this class, you know, she said, come up with a business idea, and you came up with a secondhand clothing thing. When you look back on that, you know, it sounds like it is a really crowded field, and maybe you guys weren't that unique in it. Would you say that was the primary challenge?
Yeah, we lacked uniqueness, and I feel like we also lacked like the passion for it as well.
Okay, okay. And then Kyla, maybe you guys shifted to jewelry. What made you go from secondhand clothing to jewelry? Like, and why did you maybe think that was a better idea?
So when we were selling the secondhand clothing, we were also making homemade rings. And that seemed to be the only thing that people were really interested in for that business. So then we transitioned solely to the jewelry, and we were going to have like different lines for different causes, which is where the diabetes came in.
Got it. Okay. So like there's a really good insight here for other entrepreneurs, which is something Kyle and Lydia sort of intuitively saw, which is they had a bunch of things they were doing, and then they leaned into the thing that seemed to be working the most, right? Which is really smart. They didn't just keep banging their heads against the wall trying to sell clothing, which is brilliant. Okay. And so then your sister, Kylie, your sister gets diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and you decide to make rings related to diabetes. Is that kind of is that the first connection to diabetes, or was there something before that?
Yeah, that was the first connection we made to diabetes, because the universal symbol for diabetes is a blue circle. So that's what we incorporated into the blue rings.
Okay. And now, based on what you shared earlier, it sounds like jewelry is no longer part of the business, right? You're kind of out of the jewelry business. Is that right?
And we're out of that.
Okay. All right. All right. So I want to get into a little bit of the mindset you guys have, because, you know, the first business didn't work. The second business kind of you pivoted out of. You know, I think a lot of people might say like, let's just pack it in, right? Like, let's just stop doing this entrepreneurship thing. What made you keep going? Like, why keep trying? You know, why be on your third idea that seems to have worked? Like, yeah, why not just quit?
Well, something that I have learned throughout like my years of life, even though it's not that many, that failure is the next step to success. So yes, we were failing, but the more we failed, like the more successful we got. And so it was just a matter of trial and error. And it's just kind of boosting our confidence in the way, like, I don't really know how to describe it. But
no, that's great. That's great. I mean, I like, you know, I think everybody should just rewind what Lydia just said. Like, there was an immense amount of wisdom in that. Like, nobody, very few entrepreneurs just kind of come out of the gate and just hit it big, right? Like, they iterate and test and learn, and sometimes they just keep doing that. And you guys did that very quickly, which is remarkable. Where did this entrepreneurial kind of urge come from? Did you grow up in a household of entrepreneurs, both of you? Was it just, you know, Miss Johnson was like, just kind of sparked this in you? Was it lots of Shark Tank that you watched when you were younger? Like, where's this coming from?
It was definitely for me. Well, my whole life, my mom has said that I've been kind of a natural leader. So it's part of that. But also Mrs. Johnson has definitely put that spark in us. Her class, just, we knew we wanted to be entrepreneurs. We just had to find what the right thing was for us and what we had that passion for.
And Mrs. Johnson, she's just a really good teacher, and she's done so much and like installed so much like passion in us and like helped us realize that this is what, like, we have the power to run our own business. She actually won the Milk It Educator Award, which is known as the Oscars for teaching.
Wow. So, all right. Okay.
She's a very, very good teacher.
Okay. Amazing. All right. Mrs. Johnson, you got to clip this and send it to the principal. You should get a big raise, it sounds like. So, sorry,
well,
Lydia, I cut you off.
She's winning $25,000 from the award. So,
okay.
Okay. She basically gets a raise.
Okay. All right. Nice. Nice. Well done. Got it. All right. So, you know, it sounds like, you know, your mom kind of found this leadership tendency in you and sort of encouraged that. And then you had a remarkable teacher who kind of sparked this entrepreneurship kind of flame in you guys, which is great. So now let's shift to the company, right? So you've got all these products. How do they work together? Like, when you go into an elementary school, and I'm going to ask some probably dumb questions here. You go into an elementary school, you're doing this education work, which is free for the school. Are they then buying the teddy bears, buying the books, or are the products unrelated in that sense?
In some ways they are, but in some ways they're not. It really just depends if the teacher or like any of the students want to purchase, but we send home coloring sheets that the students would color in class. And that kind of just gets to the parents. Like, the parents ask them what they do during their school day. They show them the coloring sheet. It has our logo on it. And then they want to find out more. And so, like, that's kind of where our sales come from, stemming from the bears and the books. And then we also make a lot of sales with the bears and the books from craft fairs as well.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So maybe, Kyla, walk me through the pitch to... I guess you sell to schools, but you don't really, it doesn't cost them anything, but they still got to agree to let you come in, right? And they might be like, no. Or you're selling to, it sounds like, sponsors who put their logos on the coloring sheets. Do they get their logos on the bears as well, or is it just the coloring sheets?
They get their logos on the coloring sheets, and then also our books. There's an opportunity to put an advertisement on the back of our books as well.
Okay. So I think one of the things when we talk to young entrepreneurs, like, this idea of selling kind of scares them a little bit. I'm curious, when you kind of go to either schools or these sponsors, you know, what's the pitch, right? What are you telling them, why they should do this? And let's start there. Like, I would love to hear what that looks like.
Well, the way we get into schools, both of my parents are educators, and so they're well known throughout their district. And then they also are known throughout other districts because they used to work at districts nearby to where we live. And so they're kind of like getting us into the schools and like sending out emails to different teachers to schedule sessions with us. And also both of our siblings are in elementary schools as well. So we have an advantage towards that. And the teachers, like, with our siblings, know our siblings. And so then, like, we talk to them through that. And we kind of just reach out to currently reaching out to the schools that we know, but then we're hoping to do like an educational segment where we can sell videos, books, and like coloring sheets to schools that are like kind of out of our reach, farther away for us, that we're not able to travel to, so that we would sell them a package of all the stuff they would need to educate, and then we'd also send them videos as well for that.
Got it. Okay. And so I think in the initial conversation I had with Nick, I think Kyla, you made a point, I think it was you, Kyla, about you know, people kind of maybe on the sponsorship side show interest, but then they sort of, you know, maybe ghost you is too strong of a word, but they sort of don't follow through. Walk me through maybe what's happening there. What you know, when you go to talk to a sponsor to put them on the coloring sheet or, you know, put them in the book, you know, what do you tell them? Like, hey, here's why you should be involved. What does that look like?
So first we give them just the pitch of our business, what we are, what we do, all of that. And then we also give them the backstory of why we started our business with Ava. And then we just give them the opportunity and we have to put ourselves out there. It's like trial and error. You're like, you'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So we just go and we ask for the sponsor or the advertisement. And then if they want to do it, great. And we've had people want to do multiple because they want to invest in us. But then we've also had people that we've tried to get sponsorships and they just say that they're interested, but then later they might not pursue it, which is part of a business.
Yeah. And how do you find these potential sponsors, Kyla? Are you going sort of, you know, to the mall and going kind of retailer to retailer, like kind of door to door? Are you calling people, you know, like, yeah, well, how do you find people to talk to?
We've done multiple. So there's different business owners that we know that we've talked to, but then also at different events that we've been at, we've advertised it there and we've had people show interest at those. Or we got some grant money from One World Education Foundation for our book. And that was just something that we found. And then they were willing to just put their advertisement on our book.
Okay, got it. And so I'm curious, and you might not know specifically, but if you talk to 100 potential sponsors, like how many of them become customers? Like what's your, you know, what would be called your close rate? What's your close rate if you had to estimate?
Probably like 50%. It's like 50-50. It really just depends. Wow.
Okay. All right. I think every entrepreneur who just heard that is like, you know, their mouths are open because a 50% close rate is awesome. And what does it cost a sponsor to put their name on the coloring sheets? Like, let's say they want to just do it one time at one school.
So the coloring sheets are $350 for 5,000 of them. And then the book is $1,200 for 100 books.
Gotcha. Okay. And so this is kind of a genius business model. So you get sponsorship for the book and then you also sell the book, or is the book for free?
Yes, we sell the book.
Okay, so you guys are like double dipping in a really interesting way. Okay. So 5,000 sheets, meaning like, does that mean you have to have 5,000 kids go through the program? Or does each kid get a bunch of sheets?
We give each kid one sheet when we go into the classrooms, but also one of our sponsorships was Health Markets, and that's Kevin McIntyre. And we're going to give him like some of the sheets to put in his office too. So they will all go towards the kids.
Got it. All right. And so right now, so how do you guys find time to do this? I think when I was listening, I was like, okay, well, you guys are in school. You're going to elementary schools. They seem to have similar schedules. So how do you find time to do this with your own schoolwork and other activities?
So really right now, being in my senior year, I don't really have much to do. I'm mostly doing my college classes through the local community college, Ivy Tech. But it's really like not a ton of work. I usually do most of it after school and then focus really on the business while I'm in school.
Got it. Nice. Okay. And you're both seniors, is that right?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Okay. Got it. All right. And so, Kyla, do you have the same flexibility as Lydia does, or is school a little bit more, a little more restrictive?
I definitely have a lot more classes that I'm not able to miss than her, but okay. We have our same entrepreneurship class together that we're able to go into classes at.
Got it. Okay. All right. And so it sounds like, you know, you guys, to some degree, the business is limited by how many schools you can go to or the number of schools that are nearby, right? And so you're thinking about this pack, right, that a teacher could maybe just like use on their own. Is that live and out there yet, or that's something you're trying to put together?
That's just something that we're working on putting together. We're trying to think of like all of the materials we would need and like how many coloring sheets we should sell. to each classroom with that. And we wouldn't like charge a lot since we mostly go into classrooms for free, but we still would need to charge something because of like the shipping and like kind of the effort that it takes to make those videos as well.
Also because our book was in there, which does cost money.
The book does cost money. When we do go into classrooms to educate the students, we don't let them keep the book typically. So that would also be an aspect.
All right, guys. So you've got a bunch of different products. You're obviously reaching out to elementary schools and doing this really great work around educating young people about what diabetes is and you know, how it all works. Let's talk a little bit about what that actually looks like. So what is an elementary school student doing during that 45 minutes or an hour that you're there? What's that activity look like?
So first, when we first go in, we do diabetes bingo. So that's a bunch of different words related to diabetes. We go more into depth about what those mean. And then we read the children's book. And then we also have these carb counting games. So when diabetics have to eat meals, they have to count all of their carbs and take insulin for it. So it kind of simulates what that meal would be like for the kids. And they have to try and make the lowest carb meal while still having a balanced meal. And then we do winners for that. So it's like competitive. And then at the end, we do our coloring pages, bookmarks, and stickers. We pass all of that out. And then we have a portion where they're able to ask questions, which that is definitely influential for us because sometimes you don't know if it's getting through to the elementary school kids, but then when you hear the different questions that they're asking, you can tell that they understand and they're curious about what it is.
Got it. Yeah, that's fantastic. And then, so that's the education side. And then you have kind of the merch side. You know, we'll put the teddy bears and the hoodies and the book all in a different category. How do you get the word out about that?
So we do that with the craft fairs on our website, on our Instagram. And we just kind of like bring it to every event that we go to. It's mostly through like our website, Instagram, and word of mouth.
Okay. And where between those three, kind of as much as you can tell, like are the crafts fairs kind of where most of the sales tend to happen, or are people kind of, you know, just randomly finding your website and you're getting orders from around the country for the stuff on the website?
It's more of the craft fairs being like the main source of the income, mostly because when they see us and we talk to them, they feel more like obliged to buy something from us because like it's face-to-face contact. They're right in front of us. And they kind of just get more of like a feeling towards our business more than they would just looking at our website. It's easier to say no to someone when you can't see them. So
Yeah, 100%. And so between, you know, you mentioned kind of a little over 4,000 in revenue. You know, if you had to break that up into sort of a pie chart, like where is that coming from? How much is sponsorships versus selling teddy bears, books, merchandise, like, you know, versus, I don't know if there's other elements of, you know, where revenue comes from. What's that look like?
Most of it is coming from the advertisement side of things. So we're getting most of our revenue from people purchasing the advertisements, mostly because they're priced so much higher than the rest of our items.
Right, that makes sense. Okay, super. And so have you guys ever thought, I'm just curious, like, you know, because we talk a lot about focus, you know, with entrepreneurs, right? Whether you're, you know, just starting out or you've been at it a bit, one of the biggest mistakes I've made in business is like not focusing. You know, given that's where a lot of the revenue is, have you ever thought that maybe just lean into that? Or yeah, I'm just curious, like, you know, kind of go into the thing that's really working, kind of the way you did initially with jewelry. Ever thought about that?
I don't know if we have thought about that because the bears and the books are part of the awareness, because the book gives the life of Ava before her diagnosis and then during her diagnosis and how that kind of changed for her, but also how she can still be a normal kid. So I think that's kind of an important part of our business.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. Yeah, I think Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like they all kind of work together. And I think people also probably really like the physical products quite a bit, which is awesome. And so I'm curious, on the website, how did you build that?
We used an online thing called HubSpot to build it. And then we just have different portions of it. We have like a product section, services, what we do, who we are, different areas.
So, all right. So you're using HubSpot. What's like, how did you learn this? Were you just on YouTube? You know, how'd you even know that you could set up a website using HubSpot? How did that happen?
I was just researching different ways, and we didn't want to use something like just Google Sites because it looks kind of like blocky and basic. And so HubSpot was something that we could use that made it look more professional, but wasn't like super expensive like the other websites that we had seen.
Wow, that's awesome. And so you kind of just, I guess you just sort of self-taught yourself how to put it up with HubSpot?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's remarkable. And so if somebody goes to the site, they can actually buy a teddy bear right off of it, or they can buy some merch right off of it. And it's got like, I can put my credit card in and the whole deal.
So for our merchandise, you can just put the credit card in and all of that. And then for our bears, it's just a link right now that you want to put your credit card in. It's
Google Form?
A Google Form.
Okay, got it. It's a Google Form, and then you'll get an email or something, and then you'll reach out to them and work through that. Okay, got it. All right, so it sounds like really big opportunity there as well, and you've kind of self-taught yourself that. If we switch to just entrepreneurship, so you have Mrs. Johnson, clearly a force of nature. Are there entrepreneurs that you look up to, kind of, you know, whether in your world of sort of this intersection of giving back and sort of disease education plus building a business, or just in general, entrepreneurs that you admire or look up to?
For sure. We definitely look up to the owner of Breakthrough Type 1 Diabetes, Aaron Kowalski. We also donate 10% of all of our profits to his program. We just really admire that program, and we really think that it's a good like awareness and good like knowing, like it's helping find the cure for type 1. It's really just something we super admire. We also look up to Katie Bone, who is a Ninja Warrior champion. So like she's also a type 1 diabetic, so her page just kind of advocates for type 1 diabetes, as well as like showing you can still be strong and have type 1 diabetes.
Okay. That's great. Are there any, you know, Kylie, you mentioned HubSpot, like I'm kind of curious how you came across them. Were you just like Googling and going on YouTube and saying how to set up an e-commerce store and they came up, or how did you even get to them? Or was there like somebody that you watch on YouTube that's a good like business kind of influencer and they recommended it? Like, do you remember how you got to them?
We were just researching different websites that we could use to build something. And then a lot of them just didn't look like they were going to work for us. And then after a while, we just end up finding it just by like scrolling through different ones.
Okay. So you kind of chanced upon it. And this business model you have, or this category you have of sort of the elementary school education, is anybody else doing that? Maybe not just for diabetes, but for other diseases? Or is this kind of like not something that's you've seen others do?
We've tried to look for like different competition and people who are doing the same thing as us, and even just different diseases we haven't found much for. We have something in our area called Junior Achievement. They go into classes and educate students on like business more, but we haven't found anything really doing it, anything about diseases.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard it. And what you guys have done actually that's really interesting, I don't even think you realize it, is that it's really hard to get into schools. Like there's tons of entrepreneurs who try to sell stuff to schools and they bang their head against the wall for like 5 years. And they just can't get in. And you've actually done something really interesting where you get in because you've made it free. So there's no issue for them, right? Like, why would they say no? So that's, yeah, it's a, and then you funded it with sponsorship, which is great. I think, by shift gears a little bit, I think I heard in the conversation you had with Nick, you've entered a bunch of kind of, I don't know, I'll call them business plan competitions or business competitions. Mm-hmm. Maybe walk us through maybe the why first, and then if you've gotten into any of them, like, you know, just what you've learned or what that experience has been like.
It's important to pitch your idea to people who, like, maybe have more experience than you do. And so it was super helpful for us because, like, we submitted, like, kind of what our business was all about, kind of like an overview of everything that we do. And then when we get in, we just go in front of, like, the judges, and they kind of just ask us questions and give us more to think about for our business. And it also helps just kind of talking in front of people and being able to present our business better. And especially it helps with being able to go into elementary school classrooms and then, like, talking in front of the younger children.
It also helps because we see all of these different entrepreneurships and what they're doing, and then it can inspire us, and we can talk to other people doing the same thing as us and kind of see what's working for them, what's working for us, and exchange ideas.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. And what are there any kind of competition names that you remember that you've been to that you thought were really helpful, or, you know, where you met a bunch of cool other entrepreneurs?
The Try and Pitch Deck was a really good competition that we went to. And then we also applied for Innovate Within, but we did not get in last year.
Got it. And are these all local Indiana programs, or were some of these, like, you know, in other states?
These were all local. We also applied for South by Southwest, which is in Texas, but we didn't make it.
Okay, cool. Well, I love that you guys are out there trying to get into these things. I mean, I think you hit it on the head, Lydia. Like, you learn a lot, you make some good contacts, you get to observe what other entrepreneurs are doing. I'm curious on the public speaking front, like, you guys are both really good, kind of poised public speakers. Have you always been that way, or has entrepreneurship kind of improved your skills there?
I definitely was not good at public speaking, but as soon as I found, like, as soon as we found something that we were passionate about and something that we loved, like, very dearly and could talk about, like, really forever, it was so much easier to just tell everyone about our business, because we really want to tell everyone about our business because it's something we're passionate about, it's something we love, it's something that we're excited about, that we spend most of our time doing. So it's a no-brainer, really.
Because there's different, like, events, awards that we've gone to that we've had to speak in front of, like, hundreds of people. And if you would have asked us to do that 2 years ago, there's no way we could have done that. We would have been stuttering all over the place. And we've just made so much growth in that because we found the passion and just because of practice.
Yeah. And honestly, don't even need to, like, prepare stuff before. We usually just wing it. So there's also that.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. You know, I imagine your first couple times you really prepared and, like, memorized.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but now we just kind of, like, mix everything that we've said before and then just kind of say it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that whole practice makes perfect kind of thing is true, right? And the fact that you guys, you know, you put in the time initially, now it's become kind of second nature. I mean, it definitely is apparent right now, which is great. You know, I think a lot of what you've done, you sell, you do public speaking. Like, I think there's, like, a funny statistic. Maybe it's not so funny. It's like the two things people fear most in life, like, number one is dying, and the second is public speaking. And so, like, you guys have conquered that fear. For a young entrepreneur listening to your story, sort of inspired by what you've built, any advice for them? Like, you know, they're like, I don't know how to sell. I've never sold anything. I'm not sure my product, people really like it. Like, you know, what would you tell them?
I would say don't be afraid of failure. And just if you fail, just keep going back and trying again, because that's really the only way you'll succeed. Going back on your failures. And I would say, like, as a business owner, I've always been very entrepreneurial minded. I've always, like, been an out of the box creative thinker. So, like, most of the business products are, like, ideas that I've had, and then, like, we've expanded them and made them a reality. And just being creative and thinking out of the box is something that's really, really going to be a lot of leverage for an entrepreneur.
I would also say you have to be passionate about what you're doing. Because if you're just doing it to make money, you're not going to get anywhere because you have to. Because like she said about the failure, if you're failing and then you're just like, oh, I'm done with that. But you have to lean into your instincts and have passion about what you're doing or it's just going to not go well.
But yeah. And is there anything, you know, Lydia, you talked about, you know, kind of being comfortable with failure. As you've been building this business, has there been a challenging customer or like something that you really thought would go really well and it totally just bombed that you were like, you know, it was like a failure when you look back that you've had to learn from? Is there a good example there?
Yes. So there's actually something that's a little more recent, but so we were having a conversation with a representative from our state, and then there was also another man there. I don't remember his name at all, but he was very kind of hurtful towards our business. He wasn't very kind with his words, and he just kind of basically said that our idea wasn't really going to get anywhere, like, in that we're just going down a slippery slope. And something that I would recommend, like, when you're faced with that, because you will be, not everyone will like your business, but when you're faced with that, just kind of stand up for yourself. And if it's something you love and it's something you know will succeed, just keep trying. Don't listen to like people who don't believe in you, because just keep trying. It was really hard, like, hearing someone say that, because it's kind of like our first like negative thing about our business, who like didn't think it was a good idea, didn't think it would work, kind of just said really not kind things.
Wow. But how did you react in the moment, right? And was this person a successful entrepreneur, or were they like a government person, or what were they?
I'm not sure exactly. I think he was a government person, but we were speaking with him, and he kind of just said that, like, he doesn't really he said that we're not really solving a problem for anyone. And I said, actually, I do think we're solving a problem for people. I've had feedback saying that we are solving a problem for people. Type 1 diabetics have expressed how thankful they are for having our business and having our advocacy, like, available to them. So, like, just standing up for yourself, even if it's someone who's, like, in much higher power than you, much, like, wiser, older, like, all of that kind of thing. Just standing up for yourself, even if they're clearly like more established than you are.
Cool. All right. Well, Lydia, that's remarkable that you did that. I'm proud of you for doing that. And yeah, if they were a government person, 99% of them don't know what the hell they're talking about either. So it's, you probably know more. YouTube will know more about business than that guy does anyway. So good for you both. I think actually on that point, you know, like, it sounds like this person woke up on the wrong side of the bed and just decided to be mean this morning. You know, in general, would you say like that was a really wide outlier, like an exception, and most people have been quite kind?
Definitely. Yeah. We get a lot of positive feedback because when we went to the State House, we were speaking with the senator and someone from the House of Representatives and a lot of like important people. And they all expressed really positive feedback towards us and what we were doing and expressed interest in helping us. And that's mainly what we've gotten from everywhere. So this was very rare.
Mm-hmm. And even when someone has like suggestions or feedback that may not be like kind of where we're going with our business, they're still very kind about it. And they like, we take their like suggestions into consideration, and sometimes we even implement them. So it's just kind of like, what people tell us to do, like, we do listen, but only when they're kind.
Yeah, absolutely, as you should. Yeah, like, sorry, I'm so irritated with this person who I've not even met, because, like, why would you do that?
Yeah, especially for young girls. Like, we're just...
Yeah, it's totally unnecessary. I mean, you guys are out there trying to do something world positive, and for somebody to be a hater like that. I mean, again, people might give you good feedback, and they might not love every part of your business, but there's no reason not to deliver that with a certain amount of grace. So yeah, that's not a nice person. But I think what you're hitting on also is that, you know, you didn't let that one person, you didn't sort of overemphasize that one person, because it sounds like 99% of the other people have been positive and kind, even if they didn't buy from you or what have you. So that's good. I think that's a big lesson for young entrepreneurs is you're going to, you know, we're talking to a young, awesome entrepreneur named Eli in Texas, and he was saying, you know, I think somebody, he was going door to door and somebody kind of like really chewed him out for being on his yard and like, you know, probably didn't feel very good in the moment. It might have been a little bit scary even, but, you know, he kept going. And so I think like these types of people are the exception. They're not the rule. And it says more about them than it does about you guys. So yeah, no, that's, I'm sorry you went through that, but I'm glad that you guys just, and Lydia, I'm especially glad you gave it back to him a little bit because it sounded like he had it coming. So that was good. Cool. Let's say we got you the dream entrepreneur you wanted to meet, right? And you don't need to give me a name. You know, we can think about that later. If you know somebody, you get them in the room. They know everything about business or your business that you could ever want them to know. And, you know, you're really trying to take this to the next level. So, we wave this magic wand. We got this person in front of you. You know, what are your questions for that person? What are you guys struggling with? Where can you use help right now?
We'd probably talk to them about like growing our Instagram page a lot and kind of just getting our name more out there, because I feel like we're very successful with our products and with our sales and with like marketing to like really on a local standpoint, but we want to like expand and we want to grow and we want to be more on a like nationwide standpoint. So just kind of talking to them and just figuring out like how they grew so much and figuring out like how to expand our Instagram, expand in different ways.
Also how to turn views into followers, because we do get a lot of views on all of our posts, but not a lot of them transfer into followers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Well, I think a couple things there, like one, you're trying things, which is a big part of it, right? Like you're going to try some things, they're not going to work. And just like in your business, you're going to eventually hit kind of a gusher and you're going to be like, oh, that's a thing. We got to lean into that, which you've done a good job on. But it sounds like marketing kind of generally is like the big area that you could use help in, right? Just creating awareness of this great effort that you have and this work around creating awareness around diabetes, which is fantastic. So you both mentioned a couple of folks. I think one was Katie Bond, who's a rock climber, has diabetes. If we can get Katie in the room, like, what would you ask her? What could she help on?
We would probably ask her about kind of like how she does her social media, tying her diagnosis to her Ninja Warrior rock climbing. It's just like very amazing to see like her strength in that way. And just like, if even like we could get a partnership, like we look up to her so much in how she advocates for type 1 diabetes with her like platform through Ninja Warrior, she advocates. And it's just really something like we would love to get a partnership with her.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Katie, you know, if you want to get the message out there to really young kids in elementary school, Kyla and Lydia are your team. And then the other person you mentioned was Aaron Kowalski, on sort of from Breakthrough Type 1 Diabetes, I think is the organization. You know, again, if we got Aaron in the room, where could we tap into Aaron's expertise to help take you guys to the next level?
We'd probably ask him about like where we could partner with him, like, and like who we should be partnering with kind of in that way. And we donate 10% of our profits to his corporation, like at the end of the cumulative year. So we just kind of, I don't know, his business is just something that we've really like looked into.
Different opportunities and connections. And he has a big business for type 1 diabetes and so do we. So just, he is a lot bigger. So what could we learn from him?
For sure.
All right, Lydia. So you talked about your associate's degree classes in entrepreneurship and then the remarkable work that Mrs. Johnson is doing with you on entrepreneurship. I'm curious just if you were to draw a contrast between the two, where have you learned more? What's better about one versus the other? Or do you learn different things in each?
I've definitely learned a lot more from my high school classes with Mrs. Johnson than I have
learning through the local community college, Ivy Tech. Their classes kind of feel like a step down from what I've already been learning. It's honestly not as in-depth and not like there's not as much time kind of put into it. And the projects given are just really simple and it's just not the same. It's a lot less in-depth for sure.
Okay. And then when you know, there's the theoretical part of a business, like which you can learn in a classroom. And then there's the actual doing part. You mentioned getting really good at public speaking, and that's because of being in the business. Are there other things that you've learned from just operating a business that you just, you know, you couldn't really learn in a classroom?
Definitely the talking to people and the trial and error. Because when you're sitting in a classroom, you just learn a lot of the behind the business stuff. But when you're actually operating the business, there's a lot of connections you have to make and putting yourself out there that you can't just do behind the business. You have to have a presence. You have to have a presence, like, in person as well, just not behind the business with finances and all of that, because that's still important, but it just won't get you as far.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And so, Lydia, you're a senior. What's the plan? Are you going to college? Are you going to keep trying to grow this business? Like, give me a sense for what happens to the business, you know, after you graduate.
I'm planning on going to college and helping Kyla still with the business. And then next year, she's planning on going to the same college as me. So we're hoping to, like, still continue to run the business. I'm going for my business administration degree at Grace College. So just I've been getting a lot of credits for that, and I shouldn't have to go for that long, but I could possibly get my master's in 3 years. So that's an accomplishment for sure.
Yeah, that's great. That's remarkable. It seems like you put in a lot of work ahead of time. And so, you know, you guys both get reunited at Grace. You're building up the business. You know, I don't know what long-term looks like, 3 years, 5 years, however you want to define it. Like, what's the, you know, if you could, again, wave a magic wand and get your dream for where this business goes, like, where would you love to see the business get to?
We would love to see it on a much larger perspective, because currently we're doing a lot of local stuff. So like we talked about with the videos and packages that we can send out, we'd like to see it in a more global or just national standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Awesome, guys. Well, you're an inspiration. Thank you for what you're doing. I think it's remarkable. You know, you built a real business and you're also doing good at the same time. You're solving a problem that that needs solving. For folks that are interested in buying merch, maybe who want to see if you could do something at their elementary school, how do they find you?
So they can find us through our Instagram, trueblue.12, which also has a link to our website in the bio.
Okay, perfect. All right. So, if you know somebody who's affected by diabetes, if you're an educator and you want to bring this to your elementary school, Kyla and Lydia are your team, and we'll put all those links in the show notes. And so please reach out to them. But guys, thanks so much. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.